closed that could cause you to be embarrassed when you're presenting. All of the pop-up windows, and people will send me chats during the middle. Okay, hi. Hope everyone had good lunch. Everyone's filled up, ready to go. My name's Theron Connery. Today I'm going to be discussing converged infrastructure with free software. A little bit about me. It's embarrassing to say, I suppose, a little bit. I'm in a committed 10-year relationship with virtualization software. I've been working with other companies' products and with all sorts of different solutions for quite some time. I have been building out data center virtualization design for quite some time and also doing cloud infrastructure as well. So if you have questions, let me know. I'm also help organize different community events for fun and parties. Can be found on Freenode, just as Theron, if you have questions afterwards. Twitter also works to get a hold of me, and my website. So when you hear about converged infrastructure design with free software, you really have to first drill into what problem you're trying to solve and identify how you want the landscape to look. It's sort of interesting, there are no green fields, right? Like if you're in enterprise architecture and design, or you're building out a cloud solution, or you don't have, you know, if you're looking for something to be built of all new software with all new applications and you don't have any historical baggage, you are in a very unique position, and I would like to talk to you. For everyone that I've spoken with and for everyone, any organization I've ever dealt with, there is always historical baggage. There is always some amount of existing infrastructure in place. People are something that are also very interesting, right? You have people that are entrenched in the way they do things and the things they want to work on. That's probably what impacts us the most, the policies and habits and inertia of organizations. So if we're looking at virtualization and we're looking at moving forward or all of this existing infrastructure and we're trying to do this and we want to move this to the cloud, right? We have this sort of idea of what cloud infrastructure is. Can't we just use some cloud solution to forklift this existing infrastructure as well as to handle new application delivery? New application models have come a long way. There's the idea of deploying on Amazon or the idea of deploying into PaaS solutions that are out there today, such as OpenShift. That works really well for new design and new implementations, but you're going to hear a lot of people tell you that the cloud is going to help you with your virtualization workloads as well, your historical virtualization workloads. Those aren't going anywhere either. We still see mainframes in the field, right? People still have old servers and historical equipment that have been around for quite some time. Those aren't going to the cloud. Those are going to have to be dealt with. These workloads that are also there, Windows workloads or older historical workloads, they're going to have to be dealt with. And sometimes it's confusing on which way people should go. We need to understand, as we have this conversation about convergent infrastructure, what it is and what it isn't, and where it fits. Enterprise virtualization is not about elastic cloud, right? It's really important to understand. When we talk about enterprise virtualization, a lot of it is around the idea of virtualizing our existing infrastructure or taking historical infrastructure that's in place and turning it into virtual machines. That doesn't necessarily mean, and it shouldn't mean, that workload is going to be run on something like OpenStack or something that's an elastic cloud framework. That's not going to fit in there. And there are a lot of people trying to shoehorn them into those types of environments to disastrous effects. Every time I hear about an Amazon or an OpenStack server malfunction or a zone going down, you hear about with AWS, the people that yell the loudest are the people that have everything built into this one thing or are trying to build with existing infrastructure what their model looks like, and it doesn't work. And the people that you know, are distributed widely, they don't run into any problems. NIST is interesting, right? So NIST defines cloud computing as enabling ubiquitous, convenient, on-demand network access to a shared pool of configurable computing resources that can be rapidly provisioned and released with minimal management effort. So that's interesting because on the left you see on-demand, self-service, resource pooling. Those are things that identify cloud computing and what we think of when we think of cloud computing. Existing enterprise virtualization workloads don't have to be shoehorned into that environment. They don't always fit. They're not scale out workloads. They're large enterprise existing VMs or virtual machines where you want to know where they live or at least know what cluster they live on. You have some sort of framework around that infrastructure. That is different than enterprise virtualization. It's important. It's important to understand the difference, but understand where each fits. So understanding that a little bit farther, we're going to go into what is OpenStack, right? We talked about that Elastic framework, the Elastic Cloud. OpenStack provides those pools or facilitates you to provide the compute, network, and storage resources. This sort of scale-out infrastructure that's built is great for managing elastic applications or applications that don't require to know whether a single instance is up and running. VMs or old-style containerized virtual machines, traditional-style virtual machines, don't necessarily work with the same frameworks in mind. It's important to know the differences. So this is one of my favorite movies, The Godfather, right? This is as you're thinking about cloud style workloads and enterprise virtualization style workloads. This is a quote from Mario Puzo, who wrote The Godfather. He said, is one of the lines in the movie is, friendship and money, right? Oil and water, they don't go together, things that never mix. And this is what you need to think of, right? It's the same thing, oil and water. Make sure when you're addressing this or you're looking at your design or your solutions that you're putting together, right? Elastic Cloud and enterprise virtualization are different animals. They tackle different problems. Having said that, there are some similarities, and we'll cover those in a little bit. So kind of pushing off the idea of cloud computing and talking about that, we'll get back to that. But when we talk about data center enterprise virtualization, this is the model that everyone is familiar with, right? If you're using, it doesn't matter, Xen, if you're using Overt, if you're using Red Hat Enterprise Virtualization, which is the product downstream of Overt, or if you're using VMware, this is the model that you're familiar with. This is what you've seen for years. It's a hypervisor that runs across commodity compute platform with some sort of attached shared storage beneath it, right? That shared storage makes things interesting, and we'll talk about that as well. It causes some problems, right? We want our virtualization efforts to move forward and to become as resilient as possible with this traditional style workload. So what do we have? Well, we have vMotion is what it's called, or live migration, depending on what product you use. And it's the ability to move a VM back and forth. And there's all these other interesting things that we have because of that hypervisor layer, right? So the insertion of that hypervisor really allowed for us to take advantage of this whole change of how we view traditional workload management. To me, this is all really interesting, and this was all extremely important, but one of the key thoughts around this is, all of this was around the idea of just how we tackle compute virtualization. That's it. Just the compute part. If we go back to that other slide, all it is how we take advantage of the compute layer of virtualization. All of these things came about. That's awesome. Those are things that we all think of as normal now. If you're in data center virtualization design or data center virtualization work today, none of this is a shock to you. However, we run into some challenges. Sometimes that's cool to have all of this stuff or all this technology available to us, but sometimes it's not terribly useful, right? This is a funny image. I like this image. It makes me laugh. It doesn't matter if you have a space shuttle if you're trying to get from point A to point B on a boat, right? It's not going to help you out. That boat and that image is traditional storage arrays and how we handle storage for VMs today. The problems that exist within storage are, they exist in a lot of other different areas, but for enterprise storage, it's actually kind of interesting. They're the same problems that have existed for years, because enterprise storage historically hasn't changed for years. So if we're trying to modernize how we tackle compute infrastructure and virtualization infrastructure, one of the key things that we have to tackle is enterprise storage, and that sort of is a sticky widget. I'm not sure how to translate that. There's another way to say that. It's not an easy thing. It's a pain. There are a lot of big issues that are out there with enterprise virtualization today, specifically around VM management and VM storage. To me, the big one is a need for a file system or a storage solution that works for, you know, block, NAS, and object, all three at the same time. That's important. And the lack of APIs is also critical if we're going to figure things out and make things a little more coherent. So coming around to the idea of what is a workable solution, what does something that we can do to handle these enterprise virtualization workloads in a more efficient fashion, is this idea of converged infrastructure, which is why you're here. This is actually kind of interesting. It started with compute virtualization, and it slowed down. It effectively stopped. This idea stopped for years, and I don't know why. But it's the idea of taking commodity compute resources and leveraging them for your storage as well as your compute for the virtualization layer. This is a really important idea from an enterprise virtualization play, because it does an interesting thing to our picture. We know that we have commodity compute and a hypervisor, but this traditional storage array, this traditional storage environment, enterprise storage environment, it shouldn't come as a shock to anyone why an enterprise storage company bought VMware, right? Because if you could do the same thing for storage that you did for the commodity compute with standard virtualization, you gain a lot of things. For instance, you can get rid of the main heads that are attached, because you really don't care about those heads. You really care about what's on the disk. The data itself, the VMs themselves, are what's important. So if we strip those out and we actually take the shared storage layer and move it up above the commodity compute layer, it allows us to start doing some very, very interesting things. Now we only have one hardware reference platform to worry about for both virtualization and storage. So if we're going to try to solve this with free software, we need to obviously know what else is on the market, who else is doing this today. There are people doing this today, and they're all proprietary, which is kind of interesting. VCE is VMware, Cisco, and EMC, their company that they formed. Dell is doing something also in the converged infrastructure space. Oddly enough, they're doing it with VMware, so there's no free software story around that. But the most interesting one, I think, is this company called Nutanix that's doing this. It's all proprietary, it's all locked down, but it has a model that works, that's interesting, and that we in the free software community should be able to make better, and at least use as a starting point for an idea of a reference implementation. The sad thing is they actually use the idea of being a black box, of being closed source, as something that's, you know, a positive, and that should be terrifying to everyone. That's an actual logo from their website that I had to attribute to them. And they use that in their marketing as well. The idea of convergent infrastructure, is this really a hard problem to solve? This is my funny slide. It is a hard problem to solve. How do you tie everything together? Well, the first thing that you need to start with if you're looking at a converged infrastructure play for enterprise virtualization is, what are you going to use to host the VMs? How do you host the VMs? That's the trickiest part. If looking around the free software world, we have some different options to play with. One of them that's most interesting today is a project called Overt, sponsored by Red Hat, but we have a lot of community contributors, and we're always looking for more, hint, hint. Overt is very interesting from a project perspective because it allows for large-scale, centralized desktop and server virtualization platforms. It translates roughly with some actual additional features from like what a VMware vSphere does or a KVM Zen server implementation or deployment. It's focused completely on KVM, right? So a lot of other different projects that are doing different things try to tackle and support lots of different hypervisors, which is cool. There's nothing wrong with that. It's actually kind of really interesting why Overt supports just KVM. If you sort of look at the different hypervisor technologies, they're all awesome. They all do different things and they do them differently. But in order to leverage the full functionality of any particular hypervisor, you can't do that without a lot of work across for multiple hypervisors. In other words, you either go deep or you go wide. You get to pick one or the other, right? So you're either dealing with the lowest common denominator for multiple hypervisors, or you're focusing on one and leveraging all of its features. Overt leverages early all of the features that KVM provides. And so some of the advanced functionality, like live storage migration and other things that are being worked into the hypervisor, Overt takes advantage of. It can be found on OFTC, the IRC channel, IRC server, and all the information can be found on overt.org. But Overt at its core is really based around the idea of a traditional data center design or a traditional storage interpretation of how it views enterprise storage. You know, you've got the web portal that the user is communicating through, but on the back end, Overt, in this case, a Fedora hypervisor, expects to see a SAN or a NAS device on the back end. That's traditional enterprise storage. That's great. That works for a lot of different use cases, but we're looking to try to build out a converged play, something that's a little more flexible and robust, that can be deployed side by side with other cloud solutions in a more interesting way. So how do we change that? Well, it's interesting that we also have built in today the idea and the concept of different data pools and how it can talk. So while it can talk, block or file for data store, it also has the ability to talk via POSIX and local. And we're going to take advantage of that very quickly. This is a standard overview slide of storage. But the most important thing for a converged infrastructure story, if you're not familiar with Overt, there are tons of documentation out there. Feel free to go look. But for us today, I want us to be able to focus on the POSIX and local opportunities that we have within the storage pool. So if we've started with the idea of converged infrastructure. We understand that we're going to use Overt for our compute nodes, but now we need to figure something that we can use to take that storage layer next to the hypervisor, move it from separate enterprise array and move that storage layer up. Gluster is one option. There's a few others out there. Gluster is interesting for a few reasons. For me personally, the reason that it's most interesting from a couple of different angles is it's really easy. It's not complex to get set up. That's a plus for me. It can look confusing, but it's not. If you're not familiar with Gluster, Gluster.org, Gluster on Freenode. Key points are the linear performance scaling for me and scale out clustered storage building blocks. That's important. On the left, you'll see different ways that Gluster can be deployed. It's a software solution that allows for replication across multiple bricks or nodes. But you can have other things attached to it as well, such as JBODs or other things. But we want to leverage disk and chassis for the purposes of this conversation, which would be the far left image. So how many in here have used or heard of Gluster before? It's always an interesting question. I'm just curious. Anyone used Gluster? No? Yes, a couple of hands are going up. How many people have heard or used Overt before? Let's try that one. Got any hands coming up? We've got a few. Not very many. It's interesting. Okay, and how let's do this question. How many people are know what their organization or are directly involved in their organization's use of virtualization software? Like, how many people know their organization is using something to do virtualization today? It's like almost everybody. And if you don't know of Overt, I can pretty much guess who you're using. So back to Gluster. Sorry, I was curious about that. Gluster is made up of these. If you can understand these three ideas or these three concepts of Gluster, you're almost done. Like, that's the most confusing piece. You need to understand that a server or a node is where you slap the bricks in or where you place the bricks. The bricks then are put together to create volumes. That's it. I'd like to, you can have bricks not represent a disk, but I tend to just have a single disk to brick, so that way management is very easy. And the namespace, obviously, from that. This is, as it starts getting more complex, we start putting things together. Gluster, you can manage this way. In this case, we have three different servers. Each of them have bricks in them that are making up a volume. The volume is spread across. The key piece is the lower left here, where right now it says REST. That could be a NFS connection, an iSCSI connection. That could be any type of connection that you want to use. But for the purposes of this conversation, it's really important to focus in on, we're just connecting via the native GlusterFS implementation for the hypervisor. So in this piece, we have our compute server loaded with disks that's also serving up storage for itself and the rest of the cluster. And that rest of the cluster would be the rest of the compute clusters as well. So as Overt and Gluster become more tightly integrated, there's some things that are really important. Not only can you have your storage on the same node or on the same server that your hypervisor exists on, Overt actually manages Gluster as well. So you can take advantage and have an Overt deployment that manages your entire Gluster implementation. So there's three ways out of the box today that you can deploy Overt. One is in a virtualization-only mode. That's the default. Most people do that one, and that's just where you want to manage VMs. There's a Gluster-only mode as well, but then, to me, the key is the last one, the virtualization plus Gluster. So one pane of glass, one interface. Pane of glass, that's a pretty, is that used to, does that translate to Brazil to people? Is there a similar single pane of glass? I don't know if that's important. In the US, for some reason, everyone advertises things as a single pane of glass interface. It's like one window to manage everything. I don't know. I'm not gonna be able to say that either. But yes, but one window interface to manage the VMs and the storage, which is nice. And also through over the ability to manage and build out new volumes and standard VDSM hooks as well. So that's important. VDSM is the piece you'll see in a moment that manages that. So what that looks like from a configuration perspective is, on the right you have the storage servers that also serve as the compute servers. So these are the nodes. And each of them have an agent installed that's over that manages and talks via over an XML RPC to the VDSM agent that runs on each of those nodes, and that can scale out in that fashion. And then as you start deploying Gluster, you can grow the environment with the native Overt infrastructure as well through the commands that are available. I'll burn through the next couple of these real quick. I think I've talked to most of them. From this, one of the key pieces is, as you're adding in hypervisor information, it's all done via a GUI. Overt has a very nice, as I saw no hands go up on Overt, it's important to note here as well that there's a clean interface as well that you can use to manage over it, where everything is done through a web portal. And that, such as adding, in this case, additional storage nodes. The flow for Gluster is very simple. You add in the bricks that you need, the bricks being disks. Once you've added those in, you can create the volume. And you've identified, here we're identifying the bricks. Here we're adding the volume. It's also interesting to note, natively through here, you can identify what type of protocol that you want to add for that volume, how you want to share that volume or make it available. Once that volume's created, this is an overview picture. Once that volume's created, you can make it available as well here. This is all very interesting because one of the challenges in the past, if you've worked with Gluster, has been speed for VM or VM disks. If you're going to host VMs on Gluster, there are people that had really good luck, and there are people that have been historically had a mixed reaction about performance. There's native KVM QEMU integration for Gluster FS that's available now via the libgf API, which means that Fuse has been removed as a requirement. You no longer have to use Fuse. KVM can talk natively to Gluster, and that's fantastic. There was some rough numbers that were given. We're comfortable saying it's 200% faster. There's some other numbers that are out there as well. If you're in a service provider in arena or doing service provider type integration and you're looking for a shared file system or this type of file system, the NFS v3 ACLs are important for permissions issues. I don't know if anyone's interested in that. And I don't know if it's beta 3 is available now or beta 2, but the latest 3.4 beta is available, and you can download it from Gluster.org. One of the, kind of coming back, circling around, one of the key things when we talked early on initially around the differences between enterprise virtualization and cloud infrastructure, elastic cloud infrastructure, is one of the things I think that they do a lot better is automation. There's automation tools that are out there. There's a wide variety that you can use for configuration management, and we can talk about that a little bit more. But specifically, if you're building out, there's enough work required to make things easier that you need to have some sort of configuration management or configuration automation support. Ansible Chef, Crowbar, Puppet. Puppet is fantastic if you're not using it, and Ansible also are pretty easy to get your feet into, get used to. So we have a KVM platform that's also running Gluster. And it's going to be our storage and our compute nodes. We've got Overt managing it. And we have a cloud infrastructure that we're trying to tie in as well. This is where things get very interesting. If you have a large cloud implementation or you're rolling out an OpenStack environment and you have an Overt environment managing some of your legacy or single-purpose VMs that you have to have in your environment, how do you make the two talk together? How does that work? This slide is a warning for me to be careful about what I'm talking about. At some point, I get in trouble. Today, right now, if you download some of the upstream code of Overt, how many people know OpenStack Project pretty well, have heard of it, or new to it, are curious about it, or working with it? So in OpenStack, there's different projects. One of the projects is Quantum. I think it got renamed, actually. I should change that. I think it has a new name, but it's Quantum, which is the networking component. And it allows for very flexible management of networks. There's been a lot of work in Overt, specifically, to manage and integrate Quantum's networking components into Overt. That gives you some additional flexibility if you have both deployed, right? So if you have your enterprise virtualization solution built out and you have some sort of cloud infrastructure in place as well. Having a single style network management layer is very important and allows for some interesting integration to things like the Open vSwitch project. Single points of management are awesome because it's distributed and not having to worry about running into problems moving VMs back and forth from a networking layer eases a lot of pain points for a lot of people. That's huge. The other one thing that's interesting that we're starting to see a lot more of is interest in image management and how do we handle image management for virtualized environments. There's tight integration now with Glance and Overt that's coming. Glance is the image repository and image management for OpenStack. To me, this is really a key piece as well. If you have enterprise virtualization workloads and you're using some other project or some other product, being able to tie into OpenStack tightly as you start deploying is going to be, I think, important. Overt has the codes in place, and you can, I don't know if you can get it today. I'm not sure when it's going to be available in Fedora, but being able to push and pull images that you're building for OpenStack environments in and out of your Overt repositories as well. One of the design criteria for that was if I'm spinning up 200 VMs for testing or for QA testing in OpenStack, and how do I get them into a production Overt environment, or how do I spin up 50 VMs for testing in Overt and then move it into a production my OpenStack environment. This allows for that because those images are, you can migrate easily between the two. Standardized images are also something that's a challenge. If you have other enterprise virtualization solutions deployed, standardized image management can be rough if you're trying to also leverage KVM. Both OpenStack and Overt with the same hypervisor hooks allow for an easier migration. So there's a lot going on. I know I kind of blew through everything very quickly. There's a lot going on in the Overt community today. It's extremely active. I think that it needs to be more active. And the idea of converged infrastructure is something that needs some refinement. I'm not going to say this is something that's finished. I'm not going to say this is something that's widely adopted. But I don't think we've seen everything that virtualization is done. I don't think it's finished. There's a lot of work around shared infrastructure from a storage perspective that needs to be brought to bear. We need to make sure that, you know, the advantages of the shared storage layer next to the hypervisor can be taken advantage of. There's too much sort of wrapped up in traditional enterprise storage, so we need to fix that for virtualization to make sure that it can succeed as well. And all of the projects that I talked about that we tie together, all of them could use more people and more help and would love to have your interaction and your engagement as well. And there's where you can find out additional stuff. I will be in the Red Hat booth tomorrow and for a while tonight as well, putting together and demoing everything we just walked through, and so I can kind of go through it and show you what it looks like. If you have questions, it's a complex idea, so the language barrier is also challenging, I'm sure. If you have any questions about upstream projects, Overt, OpenStack, Gluster, or integration, how those pieces sort of can be fit together, stop by, let me know. We definitely would love to talk about stuff. It's always entertaining. I always think this is funny. We'll see how fast if we get the reaction. This is kind of where I feel enterprise virtualization is today. Even enterprise virtualization. I mean, it's such a powerful story to be able to take advantage of the data center and what you're doing in the data center. I just think the storage piece needs some work, right? I think even if we can slap something together today that works mildly, right, we're moving in the right direction. But I still think that tighter integration is required. and we need everyone's help. Everyone here would love to have you contribute to these projects and help push this forward. The more people that understand data center virtualization and understand storage together that can contribute to either project on the Gluster side or on the Overt side and get those communities tighter than they already are, is going to let us move, I think, from where we could be today, which is, you know, better than a boat, I suppose. It's not the right model, but it really pushes us to where we should be. Again, all three projects, get involved. Does anyone have any questions? Sir? So the question was, is Overt something you deploy on the hardware, or is it its own operating system, or how does it look? How does Overt look? So Overt is actually a collection of two projects. One is the management suite. So you have an application framework that provides management. And the second part of the project is Overt Node, which is a bare metal hypervisor. It looks very similar to a Zen server deployment or an ESXi deployment, right? So it's that bare metal deployment piece. Overt Management Suite then talks to all of those for coordination and for configuration. Yes. Yes. Yeah, and there are multiple ways to communicate with Overt. So the most one that most people use is it's a rich web portal, but there's also Python SDK, there's a REST API, there's the CLI, I'm sure I'm forgetting something. I use the CLI the most, as well as the website, the web portal. And the nice thing about the web portal, and I don't dig into it too much in this presentation because this is sort of how do you bolt everything together to make it do things that are new and sort of leading the way for where I think converged infrastructure is going. But one of the things that's also important is that Overt has multiple portals available. So you have an admin portal to do all of the add networks, you know, change hosts, change network configurations on hosts, those types of functions. And there's also user portals so that you can give users access in so that they can do things like turn on their VM, console into their VM. And that uses, you know, SPICE, RDP, BNC, those types of different connections, so they can connect to their VMs as well. Yeah, it's recent, as in it's only in the beta. So it's not in the latest release of Gluster. The ability to not use Fuse is only available in the 3.4 beta that's out. So yes and no. In the design that I'm using, I'll show some more of it at the booth if you stop by. Is on a single piece of hardware, I've installed Fedora, and then I install the KVM components I need, and then I install Gluster. And so that one node manages the disks and chassis that make up Gluster, and it also runs the VMs. And then I'll take that and I'll multiply that by two or three, and then that becomes a cluster that the VM can move across and the storage is replicated across. So from a hardware perspective layer, you have redundancy with standardized x86 hardware for your storage. And you don't have to have a separate giant infrastructure for enterprise storage array. Sorry, I only repeated the first question back. I just now realized that. So if you didn't hear that, the question was, how is the infrastructure built out? What does it look like? And again, most important, stop by the Red Hat booth and we can talk through some of these projects if anyone's interested. Are there any other questions? don't know how I did on time. I blew through that much faster than I must have been nervous. I appreciate you guys coming in. Thank you very much. If you have questions about, like I said, about OVERT, enterprise virtualization, data center design, OpenStack, if you know of good places to go eating and drinking tonight, anything, stop by and say hello. It was nice presenting to all of you. Thank you.